You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX PhD. I'm John Montgomery, and yes, through the miracle of technology, the tubes of the internet, we were actually able to connect to Beijing, China, and Mike's on the line. Mike, how's it going?
Ni hao.
What the hell time of morning is it there, man?
Okay, can't say that in Mandarin. It's half past six. It's a ungodly hour is the answer to that question, my friend.
And in case it's not painfully obvious to you, we're going to have some dropouts here on this connection, but we figured that we'd rather be talking to Mike, or I'd rather be talking to Mike with the occasional dropouts and so forth. I think we're experiencing not only the fact that he's, he's always halfway across the world, but in this case, he's probably doing a little bit of climbing on the great internet firewall of China, I would say, at this point. So anyway, just a heads up, the quality is probably going to drop out every now and then, but hey, I think it's worth it. So Mike, I've been enjoying checking things out. How's your trip been so far?
Well, I guess actually I'm kind of surprised at how good we have our internet connection through the great firewall of China. But the trip's been great. I think it's been everything I was hoping for it to be and more. We've got hooked up with a bunch of really great people. I've got to say, John, the thing that I really like about what we do is just the industry we hang out in.
Oh, for sure. It's such a blast to meet other artists, and they're so fantastic. I mean, I made that blog post recently, but it really is like breaking down barriers.
Oh, yeah. So for me, I was coming up here and I wanted to do a few things, and we contacted some people to help facilitate us doing some shooting. So that enabled us to do this amazing trip to the Great Wall of China and film there with the Red. And hopefully you guys have seen the photos I've been posting both in the blog and
that must have been fun.
It was awesome. I hadn't quite prepared for the fact that it was such a vertical climb, or that I'd have to do the vertical climb all the way up, come all the way down, have dinner, and climb all the way back up again to sleep.
Yeah, notice that was one of the stories or tips that I left out before you left about doing the Great Wall of China climb that CEI and I did when we were there about a year ago.
But it was brilliant. And apparently, because I've obviously not done it before, but apparently we got one of the great clear days in the last, month or something, because we could see for miles and just look spectacular, which I'm kind of used to from Australia because, of course, we have a very large country and we, can often get clear skies for hundreds of miles. But here in China, every other day has been what I'd call foggy or hazy, that kind of stuff that you get here in summer in Asia.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious. How was it there? Because, man, when I was there, I could not believe they were even going to consider having the Olympics there with the amount of pollution in the air. It was kind of like this really thick browns, almost split pea-ish soup of air. It's nasty.
It's almost like you can't see more a small distance in. I post some photos even from the Great Wall that we took the next morning, and you'll see just instead of being able to see hundreds of miles, you can see 50 yards.
Well, fog notwithstanding, I mean, it had to have been a blast anyway. I mean, I loved it tremendously when I was there. What was the highlight for you?
So the funniest thing we did on the Great Wall of China was we were at lunch, and I decided that, as you probably might have read on the blog, driving in China is an interesting experience and one that's, as I said in the blog, more based on kind of rough suggested guidelines for where the lanes and the road are as opposed to any kind of traffic rules. And so having survived several head-on collisions, I decided it was a good idea to have a drink. We discovered our guides had never had cocktails. So we actually hunted around and found, I don't know how many stores we went to outside, because we were like 3 hours out of Beijing. Actually found a place that sold Western liquor. And so I actually managed to get the vodka, that wasn't too bad actually. And even getting the Cointreau, which took about three stores. But the one that almost defeated me was getting cranberry juice. I had to give up on tequila because that was just way out. But we did actually manage to do, John, sort of a Sex and the City on the wall.
Well, I got to say, I chuckle when I read your blog post because I hadn't talked to you yet. And I think that's one of those fun things about traveling is trying to find items that you take for granted in your normal hometown or something like that. And for some reason, when you're traveling, especially in a country as diverse as like China or Japan, it becomes impossible.
I ended up buying a kid's plastic drink bottle, which turned into my cocktail shaker. And everyone was very impressed, actually. And we ran into some guys there that had just done the Olympic torch relay, so they actually had the Olympic torch with them. So between Olympic torches and cocktails, and one of the most spectacular views anywhere in the entire world. It was a good day.
Oh, fantastic. And I just want to point out, you're there doing a lot of stuff for FXPHD. You're speaking there as well, but you're really busy acquiring stuff for the new term and future terms as far as some photography on the red and other things.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, the way it worked out is I got invited to give up some lectures and stuff up here, which really facilitated us coming up here. But, of course, we wanted to do some shooting while we're up here. Now, some of this we organized way in advance from Sydney with, you know, people that were facilitating stuff like the Great Wall of China, which is something you can't kind of throw together. But we wanted to do some other shooting while we're up here. And some of that we knew we'd just be doing stuff around Beijing, and some of it we wanted to do in the studio. So we had the new Build 16 on the red camera. We wanted to do some uniquely Chinese stuff. We wanted to do some high-speed stuff. And, of course, I was very keen to use either acrobats or martial arts guys when I was planning this because I thought, you know, China, let's do something really cool. And we had a location selected as the background plates and stuff. This is one we got thrown out of, by the way. So we have this really interesting class where we're going to discuss, well, this is the kind of script that we made for ourselves. These are the plans. Because last term we were doing, or at the end of this term, we've been doing problem solving, but it's really a problem solving in post. I thought this one we'd actually go earlier in the process and try from, well, this is what we want to try and do, how are we going to pull this off, and then document a few things like, you know, not being able to get in and how we've worked out how to get around that and
right.
how to solve the various hurdles that are put in front of you. But the thing I want to say is that, and I don't want to sound like we're being too kind of egotistical or anything, but, you know, we this second shoot, the big martial arts one that we've got planned, we couldn't really organize that from Sydney so well, and it was for a lot of reasons. So we thought we'd do it when we got up here. Well, I swear to God, it took us like a few hours on the cell phones when we got up here. We started calling mates and asking for a few favors, and PhD is like pretty well known, and so is FX Guide. And within a matter of, I swear, 3 hours, we had someone that offered us a studio here in Beijing for the week, which... it's free. It's like the most coolest. It's this Canadian guy's studio. It's like a nightclub. I mean, it's an enormous thing. If I had this in Sydney, I would live. It's got green screen, lights, huge setup. We've obviously got our own camera. We've got tripods. We hooked up with the guys from Sim Video who've just been so brilliant. It's a Canadian company, but a guy called Noah here is helping us out. We had offers from Shanghai to film in Shanghai, even though we didn't even want to shoot in Shanghai. Just been extraordinary. And so we've got these really cool martial arts guys, and Jim organized all got knives and all sorts of cool stuff. And we've been plotting it out. And it's just been way cool. I love this industry. It's just a cool group to hang out with.
Yeah, I think that's especially interesting traveling as well. And I think the realization for me about FX Guide and FX PhD is being in Seoul and having someone print out something from the FX Guide website from like 7 years earlier that he had under his tablet, you know? And I'm like, oh, you know who I am kind of thing. But to your point, what you get is it's a very collaborative kind of industry, at least in this case. I mean, everyone seemed, wherever I went, seemed willing to kind of go the extra mile to help us out, to do stuff and just... as an artist, they just wanted to collaborate with us. I agree with you. I love the industry. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not trying to take advantage of anyone. Of course, no. Like some of the guys we're working with are really keen to have me go through in sort of tight detail how to get the best out of shooting red, green screen and workflow and stuff. And I'm like totally cool to provide that. But, you know, from my point of view, that's outweighed tremendously by the huge generosity they're offering in gear and equipment and people to help out on the shoot and stuff. So, I mean, obviously it's a two-way street and we would never want to take advantage of anyone.
Of course.
Certainly yeah. Happy to pay our way, but it's just people just are so keen to be, you know, hanging out and doing stuff. And you know, I was sort of about to say it when somebody said yesterday, oh, this is going to be the coolest shoot ever. And it's just exactly what you want to do, isn't it? Just get a bunch of gear and muck around with martial arts experts and film cameras.
It's living the dream. Living the dream.
Living the dream.
No, it is. So that's fantastic. Sounds like a blast.
Oh, yeah. And we found a Starbucks that's 3 stories high, has Wi-Fi, and really good frappuccinos and lattes.
Life is good. Yeah, there was one right down from the hotel where I stayed in Beijing as well, from the Nikko there. So it's kind of nice to have. I love exploring the different cultures, but there's always something nice also to have something reassuring and friendly, and especially with Wi-Fi access close by that you can grab a latte in the morning. I love that.
Yeah, and so it's quite interesting visiting facilities as well. I hadn't realized how popular Final Cut was here in China. It seemed to be like 80% of editing was Final Cut. And it's funny, you know, people go on about piracy, but man, if there was ever a case for an Intel Tower Mac being a dongle, you know, they were...
Exactly. Yeah, that's really true. And I had fun as well. Actually went to, is it CBC? What's the Chinese broadcasting, the main one there?
Oh, CCTV?
Yeah, CCTV, yep. Actually. Yeah, visited there. And it was just huge. And this was before, I'm not sure if they moved into their new building that they're building there that I thought they were going to be in before the Olympics. But actually amazing.
It's not finished yet.
Oh, it's that one, the twisted one, right, with the two towers kind of
intermingled? No, I'm just up the road from that. It is awesome. It's a spectacular architecture.
Isn't it amazing?
Though, interestingly, talking to like taxi drivers and people, no one here seems to like it. I don't know if it's going to change once it's open, but that's just not their
I was
taste.
Blown away by it. I thought it was really interesting and unique. What about the bird's nest? Did you check out the Olympic Stadium?
Yep.
Is that done?
Yep. Well, that's one of the things we've been doing up here, doing stuff leading up to the Olympics and looking at that and... nothing's kind of done, John. We are 45 days and counting. And there's they like to say, 7-star hotel that, you know, still has just got workmen all over it. But when I asked whether it would be finished, they said that they had one. I mean, I'm going to get these numbers wrong, but they're like, we have 1.5 billion people and 1.2 billion are happy to help finish it. So,
yes, I think that's the way. Well, you experienced that down in Sydney as well, that last minute push. So. It's probably a little bit normal, and hopefully maybe in 2016 I'll experience it. But, well, it's fantastic that you're enjoying your time. I'm actually going to be traveling this week as well, also for FX PhD and FX Guide, actually. I'm going out to New York to speak at the AENY After Effects New York Users Group meeting on Thursday night. So if anyone's listening to this and is in the New York area, check that out. Their website's AENY.org, I believe, and you can check out the details. But if you're a member or not an FXPHD member, I'd love to meet up with you and see you when I'm there. Also going to visit a few facilities as well and hopefully film some segments for FX Guide TV. So start rolling those out with a little bit more frequency over on the FX Guide site here.
Excellent.
In the coming
weeks. People have asked me, if I can just explain what happened with FX Guide TV. People are like, why did you... We had some really good stuff scheduled for May. Unfortunately, in both cases, two of the interviews cancelled. And, you know, it's just one of those things that when push comes to shove, PhD has to get priority for getting our stuff out. And then FX Guide stories, and we just couldn't, you know, dump on the team here to pull everything else together. And so it was literally like, you know, we had a backup plan and the backup plan failed. So.
Yeah, exactly. I did actually mention that in the podcast, just FYI for you, since I'm talking to you now, at the end of the podcast this week as well over at FX Guide, because, yeah, it's not dead by any stretch of the imagination. Just slumbering, I guess you would say.
It's having its spring summer break, right? Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Hiatus, I think, is hiatus. The official term in the broadcast industry. So, anyway, well, that's
yes.
Cool.
Yes. So something else I just wanted to cover really quickly. Occasionally, almost every week, we joke around on this DoD podcast. But I just want you guys to know that when we're joking around, especially if we're ever joking around and joking about PhD postgrads or anything, we are only joking, guys. Like, I don't know whether it's my Australian humor or not, but occasionally I make remarks on here that, like, what I would consider to be, you know, semi-obvious that I'm joking. And a couple of people actually thought I was serious. So if you ever hear anything in the DoD podcast that sounds like it's a little from left field, I would cut us some slack on that, because I swear to God, we just love doing the DoDs, but I know we do get a bit carried away, but we'd only ever be joking. We'd never be anything other than that.
Yeah, it's sometimes often in an online forum easy to get misconstrued, especially if maybe you're not totally clear about things. But yeah, we would. That's why Mike and I actually stick to railing on each other, I think, as a matter of principle. So it's to avoid that misunderstanding.
But now I'm worried that people are going to think that you and I have issues, right? And nothing could be further from the truth. So
Yeah, there was someone actually ran into who kind of thought that. And we're like, oh, no, we're just having to laugh with each other.
A few years ago, you and I were making snide remarks about each other, and Jeff walked in on it. And
Jeff did. That's it. That's who it was.
And he was like, you know, the children are fighting. And we're like, no, we're not, you dick. We're just kidding around. And he's like, oh, all right, yeah, no, okay, I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think it comes from the fact that we talk to each other maybe a little bit more than Jeff, just being involved with FXPhD and communicating a little bit more, actually.
We become comfortable with each other.
But yes, definitely not. And actually, the same holds true also as well in the forums. I actually made this point in a couple threads this week that I think it's important to remember that when you post something, and I think it's just generally true with electronic email, that sometimes you just post something and don't kind of think about what you're posting, kind of run through it. And it's always a good time to just, especially when you're being critical or something of someone, just to take a moment, reread it, make sure it's 100% clear what you're trying to say, because a lot of misunderstandings can happen in written form, especially when you combine, at least in my case, I think, sometimes my unclear writing with cross-cultural differences, you know? So you have the potential for combining those two things and making matters a bit worse than they actually are when, you know, I've had misinterpretations of posts I've done, and I'm like, I wasn't meaning that at all. So I guess I'm just saying in the forums and if you're posting and so forth, you know, take a moment to read what you wrote. Read it over and make sure it's totally clear so we're not offending people or insulting people, I think. We don't really have a big problem with that, but I just think it deserves mentioning every now and then.
Yeah, and I will take that to heart, definitely, because I think it's me that always seems to trip over these things the most, so I apologize. But yeah, I mean, you know, obviously in any situation like this, you know, it's always clear to clarify when you've got so many different people talking so many different subjects and so many different literally languages, native cultures and stuff. Hey, we're getting awfully close to another term. So should we discuss what's, you know, coming up in terms of just the rollout and the dates and the key aspects of next term?
Yes, I'll do that, because I just actually was prepping that for the this week update. For those of you actually who don't watch that, shame on you. Sorry. But actually, the idea behind those is just to try and keep everybody informed, and we talked about it in as many ways as possible. But the bottom line is we announce the new courses fully on June 30th, basically July 1st, I guess, right, in Australia, as you travel around the world. And registration will actually be open at that point. You'll be able to sign up and register. But if you have auto-renewed turned on, those are actually going to begin July 3rd. And we've actually gone so far this term as to give you a time of the cutoff on when we'll be grabbing whoever has auto-renew turned on. And that's actually at 2300 on Thursday, July 3rd, Greenwich Mean Time. That's like 4 o'clock in Los Angeles in the afternoon, 2 a.m. in Beirut, 8 a.m. in Tokyo, and 9 in Melbourne, which, as I said in the update last week, coincidentally happens to be the time that Debbie gets into the office. So... work your way back and see who runs the show regarding billing and so forth. But the idea is, in your user control panel and the edit options, you have auto renew on or off. And if you want us to automatically rebill your credit card, we're going to be start doing that on July 3rd, which gives you a couple days to decide if you want to turn that back on or turn it off for any reason. Again, we try to make it as transparent as possible. We're not trying to hide anything about this auto renew. You know, we're not trying to. I think you guys should know us well enough that we're not trying to take your money if you don't want to give it to us. But again, the idea is to make it easier for you so you don't have to re-enter that every time. Then what would happen? The orientation week special, O week. Some people say 0 week. It's actually O for orientation. A little FXPHD trivia. That happens on... Sorry, looking now. The week of July 7th.
Do you have orientation week at universities in America? Because it's common in Australia.
Okay, we do. Okay. No. I mean, yeah. I picked a font that doesn't have the slash to the zero. That can be clear. But no, so that's the orientation week special, which we make available to everyone. It's going to have the previews, screen captures, previews of all the new classes, as well as other cool stuff that's going on. So that happens on sometime the week of July 7th. And then the first classes start rolling out the week of July 14th. So that's a story with the rollout in the new term.
Excellent, excellent. And we have a really interesting thing happening. We're not sure whether it's of all the terms that we've had, the ones in the summer, every term, like, we basically increase our, you know, numbers and everything's been going really, really well. But summer, we're not quite sure about whether you guys want more or less classes, whether you guys in the Northern Hemisphere, are we like, yeah, I want to go down the beach? Or whether you're like, well, I'm not so busy over the summer, so I can take some more classes. So summer term, which is this next one coming up for the Northern Hemisphere,
yes,
is one that we're really interesting to try and work out what you guys want. Now, I think that it's got nothing to do with the seasons, and that it's we're spooked by it. But we're curious. So if you've got any opinions on that, please email us. But we, you know, we spend a lot of time looking for correlation between, you know, full moons, what the US Dow Jones Index is doing, and how many people are joining PhD each term. And we're curious to know whether it being summer is, you know, your off period, as it is with television, or is it the case that it's a chance to get some stuff done and download some classes and get ready for the for what it would be the what spring. Onslaught in America in the lead up to Christmas.
Yes, autumn.
Oh, of course, autumn. I'm sorry, yeah. I got my
opposite
season.
Your hemisphere is reversed. I was just curious. I'd heard that from a couple of people. I don't know that that's the case. I mean, in my thinking, it'll be interesting to hear from you guys, see what you kind of think. Could always, you know, of course, be the course selection as well, which would be a real obvious one. But I think we've got a great term coming up, and I'm really excited about it. Especially this one thing I've been working on, which I won't talk about today, but I'm going to actually talk about Thursday. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, you talk about that Thursday. So we've got a couple of classes coming up. Now, I think we leaked matte painting. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to bugger this up. What's the other
audio
one we leaked?
Audio. We talked about audio last week. Yeah.
So I think we've got there are two actually that I don't want to leak because I think that they're just killer, just mega amazingly huge things.
Like and one chatting of them each other about so,
yeah, there's two of them I'm not going to leak until the day, right? Because I don't want to give away the crap.
I agree.
But
I'm with
there's
you
a couple
those.
That are going to have some really insanely cool aspects we've never done before that for some of you will be like really significant. Okay. But there is one course that is, I think fair to say, definitely a return by popular demand.
Oh, 100%.
We put out a course two terms ago, not this last term, two terms ago, and it proved much more popular than we had anticipated. Not because we didn't like the course, but we just thought maybe it wasn't our core kind of thing, and you know, you guys only there'd be a few people interested in. And we really hide it. And I'm talking about the sysadmin course. And the sysadmin course was just a startling surprise to us as to how many people embraced that course and how many people wanted more.
That was one of those things where we actually posted. Mike actually made a post, didn't you? Like a month before we were kind of tossing the idea around, and people were like, nah, not so much. I mean, some people did, in fairness. Some people, I would say the majority of people were like, not so much. But it was very popular.
Yeah, and I think what it meant was that for a certain group, it really hit home. And obviously, we're great to, you know, we're really happy to provide for that group. But what we just hadn't realized is for the group that it was relevant, for the group that was struggling with dealing with just a whole bunch of getting stuff working, it was a godsend. So we're really glad to announce that we've actually got Pat's Tech Corner, or the return of Sysadmin 202. Now, I grant you that for some of you, you may be saying, why do I want to like do a sysadmin course? That doesn't sound really interesting. But let me know that for the others, if you're in that category, no problem. If you're in the other category, this one is gold. This is going to be a cracker of a course. We're going to be doing a whole lot of stuff around Apple Pro Apps, in particular the server implementation, the new stuff with the Final Cut Server, I should say, the new system with backups and the whole system of managing professional products, not just in the Apple, but mainly in the Apple space. And it's going to be very much hands-on, very much answering questions. Pat's really keen to come back. He's going to be answering, of course, questions in the forum to help people out with individual problems. But he's just literally finished building a new facility, John, since, you know, that's where he wasn't in last term. And so he himself said there's a ton of stuff he wants to show people.
Yeah, and also from my standpoint, it's going to be good because we'll actually be covering some Avid stuff a little bit hardcore for the first time as well, because the folks here at Hootenanny have the Avid Unity system set up. And so in addition to the Apple Pro apps, we're going to be taking a look at that as well. So I think that'll be a nice balance, because obviously Avid is still very important in the industry, and contrary to the rumors of their demise not going to NAB, is still a very active player in the community.
Totally. And what's really great about this is that both in the case of Hootenanny and in the case of Pat's work locally, this is just real-world implementation of actually putting in hard hardcore suites. So this isn't the kind of, well, on paper you connect A to B and it all works well. You know, Pat's going to be warts and all, and, you know, well, don't do this because it just slows down. And yes, you can use an older computer here because this is just the metadata, and but this one is like where you really have the bottleneck in performance. So it should be cool. And, of course, the facility he's built, as with yours, John, as I said, isn't just Apple stuff. He was incorporating Flames and stuff at his end. You've got the Avid workflow, and yet there's a whole lot of stuff that that has changed in terms of servers and stuff.
Yeah, that's very true. And the kind of stuff here, just trying to, on top of that, integrate Avid with Final Cut, as you say, with Smoke, with Flame. I mean, just a natural thing in any kind of facility. How do you get the stuff from one place to the other? What's the best way of doing it? And I know here it is based on, it's certainly based on real world workflow. So I'm looking forward to contributing in whatever way I can to that course as well. So
yeah, that should be really good.
I'm not quite as stylish.
That's your third leak. Well, you see, the thing about it is that what we've learned with the sysadmin is that if you're into trying to solve that, to get, you know, if you're a part of a facility that, because even in China, 70% of the companies have 10 employees or less, right? So there's a lot of people out there that aren't in the big places with the, you know, vast, cool tech gods that are just solving everything for them. And if you happen to be one of those places, well, great. But for a lot of us, you know, they work in smaller facilities, and sometimes it's like, well, if I want to take it to the next level, how am I going to do that? And I just don't have the time to research it for a week and run the risk of having downtime. So this is just a lifeline to those people.
Yeah, it will be fantastic. It'll be a good ad. And again, we will be announcing in just a short 7 days, be announcing our full slate of courses we have coming up. And again, once again, I think it's, I'm excited.
So weird. So anyway, in 7 days, I get to announce the other, what I call the big two.
And I get announced, you know, well, and it's not just two. I mean, we've got a big, we've got
three, sorry.
Yeah,
big three.
Yeah, exactly. We've got,
so the big, that would be the big three, actually.
Yeah, the big three. Well,
did I say three? Actually, the big four. Five? Kind of six, really, if you think about it. Actually, we've got, I think, oh my God, at the moment, I think we've got 15 courses down that we're still trying to cull down to the final set that'll be, sort of less than that we offer you. But when we say cull them down, we don't just do them and throw them away. What we do is, you know, plan out when they're going to be rolled out. Because sometimes it takes, you know, 6 months. You know, people, for example, knew that I was doing work on stereoscopic stuff and assumed that it would be coming up in July term. And I was like, no, not ready yet.
Oh, yeah, it's so much planning ahead and getting stuff ready for the term. It's incredible. But, hey, I'm sorry, man, but this is getting really tough to hear you at times. I think it's probably time we cut this short, let you get things together for your morning before you head out there in Beijing. But, man, it was so cool having you on the line from China.
I'm going to sign off because you've turned into a Klingon again.
Well, I don't even know if you can hear me, man. But again, thanks for joining us today. And everyone, thanks for listening. Remember, a week from today, effectively Monday, June 30th, our new term's going to be announced. So that's exciting. In the meantime, for everyone at FX PhD, myself, Mark, Mike, Jimmy, Matt, Debbie and Dave, all of us, including all the professors, thanks so much for being part of the term. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.